This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. All right, everybody, welcome back to your latest Thursday conversation. The world is upside down again. Well, actually, I'm kind of losing my marbles. It is Tuesday. We're recording this as a Thursday conversation, and we're posting it on Wednesday. See, so I'm just ready for the home. I think someone who's ready to come with me is my old friend, Mickey Fulp. Mickey, who I still like to refer to as the mercenary geologist, is here just to kind of commiserate with me today. And Mickey, like I said, maybe we can get like a semi-private room at the home, and we can just sit around and commiserate together all day as we get older. How are you, my friend?
Well, I'm pretty good. And if we're going to do that, we probably ought to have some really nice bourbon sitting in front of us.
But, right.
But it's actually being recorded in the morning. And I don't touch the hard stuff until the later hours, let's say.
5 o'clock somewhere. Oh, my friend, I tell you, let's do this first. Let's let everybody know your current status. You're not actively sending out newsletters at this point. The Mercenary Geologist was your website, though you still people can find and should find you in your podcast that you're doing at Kitco. Tell everybody a little bit about where you are currently.
Yeah, so Mercenary Geologist website is still active. I made a decision, started making the decision in the winter of 2020, 2021 to cut back, given all the things that are going on in the world then. And so I don't write, I started not writing as much. I still maintain my two podcasts, Weekly Review with Kitco, and we do a monthly commodities program for Kitco. First one's called the Metals, Money, and Market Weekly. It comes after market, immediately after market close, every Friday. I've not written a newsletter since my annual newsletter to subscribers. We still have well over 7,000 subscribers. So I've just decided with the bear market now in its 12th year for junior resource stocks, with a couple of bull runs during that period of time, about 6 months, to kind of walk away from that end of the business. And there's just no interest in that and from the investing public. And I don't see any changes coming in the future.
Well, and that's what I thought was would make this, I don't know, it's definitely maybe not a fun podcast, but so many of us feel the same way. You know, you watch the wasting of some of the majors, right? Their product price doesn't really go up, but their input costs go up. And so their margins are constantly getting squeezed. And you see what happens to these exploration companies are constantly out there trying to raise cash, and they can't do anything other than dilute their shares.
Yeah.
You would suggest maybe there's not a light at the end of the tunnel, but is there?
I think there's always a light at the end of the tunnel, however dim it may be. And that, comes from being a basically optimistic person, and humankind as a species is basically optimistic. Otherwise we would have gone the way of the friggin' Neanderthals, but it's a pretty dim light at the end of the tunnel. If you look at the volumes on the Toronto Venture Exchange, they are at historic lows of 2002, 2003, which is the year that the Toronto Venture Index was established. So there's no interest for good reason, because during this 12-year bear market, we had a couple of big run-ups in 2016 when the price of gold went soaring, and then in 2020 when it went soaring again. And the generalist investor just piled into this sector, and all the juniors raised money willy-nilly. And, for instance, in 2020, from June till November, perhaps $3 billion raised in the junior sector. And that was raised by people like you and me who are do this for a living. We're basically professional speculators.
Yeah.
And you could see it coming. What's going to happen when all this private placement paper is going to come free trading in 4 months? We're going to take our profits or our break evens and play warrants or whatever, and the generalist investor is going to be left holding the bag. So I started selling junior gold stocks and every stock that I could take good profits on in June, July of 2020, and took about half my money off the table. And sure enough, that by the time that private placement paper was free trading, the price of gold had dropped a couple of $100, maybe yep. even $300, and it was over. So, what will make it turn around? Probably a supercharged price of gold, if you think that's going to happen in the short term. And I don't see it in the short term.
I look at, and maybe not in the short term, but as we go through this year and the next, and when Fed and economy and, inevitability yeah. of having to cut rates again. But in terms of the shares, Mickey, I guess there's two ways somebody listening to us would say, okay, well, one, they might look at it and go, well, there's a contrarian signal right there, right? If we're all the way back down in a Toronto venture to levels not seen in 20 years since the beginning, well, then that's a sign that, this is the most hated thing and everybody hates it. So there's really nowhere to go but up. Or another way to look at it is all you're seeing are just these little bull market rallies in what is a horrible market for mining shares. So in the next rally, which who knows what percentage that is, but it'll probably happen again, should people just run up the white flag, kind of like what, not that you did in 2020, but run up the white flag and say, you know what, the hell with this. I'm going to recognize these signals next time, and I'm just going to get out of this sector for now or for good.
Yeah, so I'm not out of the sector completely. At one time, I think I held about 35 resource stocks, and I'm down to about half that now. More and more, as this has panned out, I've been moving up into the micro cap, not the nano cap end of it. So I think I hold a 8 or 9 stocks listed on the American exchange. They've not done very well, but at least they have some staying power. I wouldn't say I've run up the white flag. I've just decided to kind of sit on the sidelines and waits for some signals that maybe we're coming out of it. We really, in the junior resource sector, you've got to be able to pick stocks with staying power in these long-term bear markets. And that's really, really hard to do, because the only way they can keep afloat is to keep raising money.
Right.
And diluting themselves, and then you're faced with rollbacks and RTOs and project failures, et cetera. So it's always been a really risky business. We had a golden era from say 2003 to 2012 or something. And you could, if you knew what you're doing, you could hardly pick a stock that wasn't going to double in 12 months or less, which has always been our goal. And, at one point when I first launched this business, I hit on 17 of 18 stocks that doubled in 12 months or less, with one caveat. I had one that went 13 months before I got a triple out of it. And so that would have been the time period from about 2000 and early 2009 to 2012. And it's not been duplicated since. You know, just a raging bull market, largely driven by Chinese demand for commodities and a supercharged price in gold after we came out of the global economic crisis.
Do you think, as you wait, I don't want to say wait it out, but are royalty companies better off? I mean, I look at like a chart of Franco-Nevada, and you lay over a chart of Newmont with it, or, you know, any of the other big producers, and you go, well, geez. I mean, is that a way to kind of stay in the game, but yet not be so exposed to production and mining and exploration costs?
Well, yeah. And so you said costs, and that's the key to it, not exposed to costs, but you are exposed to the ability of the royalties to deliver on the number of ounces produced, or if you're in copper, number of pounds of copper, et cetera. But royalty companies have historically outperformed the mining companies. So that's certainly a way to play it. But those are generally incremental profits. And if you're playing the junior business, you're not looking, or we're not looking, I never have looked for incremental profits. We're looking for doubles, where we sell half and take our money off a play table and play with house money or someone else's money, or I might even be playing with your money at some point in a bull market, you know? So that's a way, but the way I choose to play that is I own some gold mining mutual funds. So I spread the risk around and they too have underperformed. But once we get the inevitable bull market, they will much outperform the market, the general market. So I hold those in my IRAs, and in total, they're probably about 10% of my total retirement portfolio, if you will. So it's just a sector play.
Yeah. Mickey, let me ask you this. You know, you talk about that period, you know, as price was going from 300 all the way to 1900, really, from 2000.
Oh, let's say from 255 to, $255.
So there's obviously a lot of interest in the sector, but at the same time, there was nothing else siphoning off investment dollars either, you know, and now we fight. Maybe not so much Bitcoin, but all these other crypto things, you know, if you had a bucket in your mind of non-dollar related, you know, assets, it was gold, the gold miners, the silver, you know, that kind of stuff. And now there's all these other things. How much do you think that, you know, the rise of these alternatives has impacted price of the, and the sector in general? How much do you think it might impact it going forward?
Well, I think it did impact it from, say, about 2016 to arguably last year. We had marijuana first, and then we had crypto, and then we had real estate. And we're talking specifically in the nanocap junior markets, venture capital markets. And the bloom is off the rose on all those cryptos, other than Bitcoin. I mean, you've seen cryptos go belly up in a lot of instances. Marijuana stocks, for the most part, had their day. So right now, I don't think there's a lot of real competition in the junior resource sector. But if you look at the volumes of the venture exchange, which is now about 40% resource stocks, and at one time it was probably when it was started in the early 2000, you're talking about 70% of that index was resource stocks.
Yeah.
So, but the volumes are, hell, last week, Craig, they were less than 20 million share
Yeah.
total.
Yeah.
In the bull market of 2020, we had one day that was 240 million shares. So
Jeez.
we've got volumes that are 5 to 10 times, 2 to 5 to 10 times lower
Yeah.
than normal.
Yeah.
And they're the same volumes we had in 03 and 04 when there wasn't a stock listed that had 100 million shares outstanding back. So there was so much less paper at that time. And to generate those volumes of, say, 20 to 30 million shares a day, there's probably well over, there might be close to two order ma as a magnitude more paper outstanding now than there was back in those days. So the other thing that we didn't have back in that day was all the volumes were on the venture exchange, and since the TMX Money officially, since then we've had all these alternative trading platforms. So you can take the volumes that we have today and you can probably multiply, and we've done some work on it with a broker in Toronto, multiply those volumes by 2.5 to 3 of the actual shares traded, because a lot of them are on alternative platforms and they don't show up in the TMX Money
Yep.
statistic. But still, if you're looking at at 50 to 100 times more shares outstanding, that's there's just no interest, in a word, no interest in this sector, no interest in this sort of venture capital. I would promote the idea that the model is broken, the junior resource model in the Toronto Venture Exchange is a broken model, and the powers that be in Canada have no desire to change that, because they make money on everything that goes
Right.
on that exchange. You
Right.
issue a press release, you pay them money. Everything you do, you're always paying them money. So it's a money-making operation within a much larger organization.
I had never even thought of what I'm about to tell you. This had never crossed my mind. But I was talk I did a kind of a catch up with Eric Sprott last month, and he was talking about how in Canada, a broker gets word that a exploration company is going to do, a private placement of $10 million, and a hedge fund will short the stock, take the proceeds from shorting the stock, buy the private placement, watch the whole thing get washed out, however many percent as you they dilute it, and then use the shares from the placement to cover the stock.
Well,
Like,
and it gets even, it's even more egregious than that in some instances. A case can be made that a lot of what's been going on in the last 10 years, the last decade, is naked short selling. So you can see
yep.
that in stocks, and there was a movement afoot started what three just before the pandemic 3 years ago, or close to 3.5 years ago
Save
now.
Canadian Mining.
Save Canadian Mining. Terry Lynch
Yep.
was the guy, a professional speculator, and he was very optimistic, as you know, oh, we're going to get this banned, we're going to get naked short selling, because it's wreaked havoc on
Yeah.
these little juniors. And you
Yeah.
can see it in daily charts. Watch the trades that come in at the end of at 3:59 p.m.
Yep.
Eastern, when they're attacking these stocks. And so here we are, 3 years and 3 months later, 3.5. And Eric is a big part of that Save Canadian Mining,
Yeah.
and even someone is. There's some big people behind it, and it's basically not progressed at all in close to 3.5 years.
So you mentioned the model is broken. What could save it, Mickey, in your opinion? What could be done to fix it?
Number one, you got to get rid of all the zombie companies, the zombie miners. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine, Tony Simon, started in on this in 2015, I think. And once again, just it was hitting his head against a brick wall. And we had a lot of people on this. He published a zombie miner report every year, and something like 40% of the mining stocks, the exploration stocks really, listed on Toronto Venture Exchange were zombies. They didn't do anything except they were mining the stock market, if you will. And he got nowhere with that. So I don't know. One of the reasons I've tried to walk away and or am walking away in the process, you know, I've got open orders to sell on just about every stock I own. Some of them at break even, some of them at specific profits on the way up. And as specific stocks have run up, so I'm selling. Sometimes I sell and I don't even know I sell till I get the confirmation from the broker. But still just trying to slowly extricate myself from this business, this model, this sector of speculation. Mickey, I wish I could be more positive, but you know, one thing I tell it the way I see it. And we had a discussion before this. You know, I'm tell it like it is in my mind, and I don't really care anymore. I'm uncancelable, if you will. So I'm not afraid to rile people.
Well, and that's always been a great part of your value, is you tell it like you see it. You don't care if you offend or step on any toes. And that's why I wanted to talk to you about this stuff. Just in our remaining minutes, I want to ask you just, you know, in your accumulated expertise, because you never just focus solely on gold and silver. I mean, you were always, you know, diversified in the companies you were looking at too. Is the same model plaguing base metal companies, industrial metal? Because it seemed like those are, you know, I've written a lot about the base metal stocks, not just copper, but nickel and lead and aluminum. And, you know, you go down the list. They seem to be depleting globally. Is there value in continuing to monitor some of these, you know, companies that deal in base metals and explore for base metals?
Well, yes, because, you know, I'm a cornucopian, so we've got enough metal. We're not going to run out any metal. The Earth's never run out of any natural resource I know of, except bird guano, and that happened 150 years ago or so. And what do? We found nitrate deposits in Atacama Desert, Chile, and by the beginning of World War One, we found a way to make nitrogen fertilizers from air. So we're not going to run out of resources, but a lot of these markets are relatively small, controlled by speculators. I'm bullish on copper and always have been. I'm not going to tell you I'm bullish on copper in the short term because prices are controlled by speculators, but the world demands copper. World demands oil. The world runs on iron ore and copper and oil, especially oil. So from a commodity standpoint, I'm bullish on a lot of these things. Lead and zinc, not so much. Nickel, very small market, controlled by an oligopoly of producers worldwide. But there is some value in playing copper stocks, probably some value in playing nickel stocks. The problem we have right now is an administration that's anti-development, anti-mining, has over the course of its what, 2.5 years now, has stopped the U.S.'s major copper developments, including Resolution Copper in Arizona, stopped or delayed, let me say. Resolution in Arizona, the Hud Bay project in southeast Arizona, two major copper nickel deposits in Minnesota, Trilogy Metals, two copper giant high-grade copper deposits in Alaska. So you're faced with an administration much the same as it was during the 8 years of Obama, where nothing gets permitted, no new mines are developed. So, you know, I own, still own Trilogy Metals. It was flying a year and a couple of months ago till the Biden administration sent the the fully approved EIS back to be redone. So, you know, delays and stuff. So it's kind of difficult, at least in the U.S., to play those sorts of stocks right now. And you're facing resource nationalism and anti-mining developments worldwide. So I wish I could be a little bit more positive about this.
Just a ray of sunshine, Mickey.
Trying to be realistic.
No, I laugh, but it's true. And that's all, again, that's the value I wanted to have this conversation. Because like I said, you have always been unafraid to give your opinion and let people deal with it and, you know, and take it from there. And that's, and I think this has been very valuable. Again, Mickey, two things. Let's do this again, you know, at some point before too long. And just to see, you know, how you're feeling, how, you know, what you're seeing. But at the same time, and in the meantime, remind everybody again, then go to just the Kitco website and what, search around there to find these podcasts that you do.
Yeah, I'm on Kitco basically 24/7, 365. You'll find something I've done on the Kitco website, but everything's available on my website. You know, we've got video page. We've done some fairly recent videos. We've got the newsletter page, Mercenary Musings. We've got the interview page where the weekly and monthly podcasts show up all the time. And then also very active on Twitter. We still have over 47,000 Twitter followers at Mercenary Geo. So everything is posted there too. We're quite active on Twitter. And since Elon took Twitter over, it's a free speech platform. And we're able to say exactly what we think on Twitter without threat of censorship, which
right.
is
for now
quite refreshing. I don't think it's going to change. We'll see. But again, an optimistic outlook of the future. I wish I had a more optimistic outlook about the junior resource sector, but can't come
it is
up
what
with
it is
right now.
Right. And again, the old website is goldgeologist.com, correct?
That's the mothership, but you can type in Mercenary Geologists and it'll run you through there, goldgeologist.com. We started out and we grabbed that URL because I still get the random job by people looking for a geologist who knows something about gold. So it's been very valuable as the kind of the mothership of the various URLs we own.
Well, this has been very valuable too, my friend. And I appreciate you taking the time to talk. And
well,
I know everybody has had, you know, considers this a valuable use of their time to listen. So thank you. And I hope we can do it again soon.
Thanks a lot, Craig. Always my pleasure.
It is always fun to visit with you. And thanks everybody for listening. We'll see if we can't have another Thursday conversation, maybe actually on Thursday sometime soon.